Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and it's a good thing to tune into Paradigm Shifters these days because, boy, oh, boy, things on the planet are changing, and the people that talk to us on Paradigm Shifters are people and beings that are making a huge difference and are really tickling some of that shift so it goes faster, deeper, broader. And today we have one of our favorite guests, somebody a lot of you are familiar with, Ginger Matro, channeling Galexis. So welcome to the show, Ginger.
Thank you.
Welcome up from California. Is it cold in California today?
Yeah, and we're in the middle of a storm.
Oh, great. Is it snowing?
Which is the remnants of a typhoon from Asia.
Oh, wow. Really, eh? Wow. Well,
that's
I heard
right.
that it was cold. Is it really chilly?
Yes, it is. It's going to warm up, though, this weekend.
So well, we had to scrape our windows yesterday, so.
Oh, well, it's been outrageous on the West Coast, I understand.
Yeah, I wonder if the typhoon's going to hit here. I hope not, but.
No, you've already been affected. It's kind of moving more south. Hit the central. It's mostly California, so.
Well, I hope it'll neutralize and not really. But anyway, we won't go too far into the weather, but I'm sure we can affect the weather with our prayers and peace, right?
Right, right. Well, every storm system and every weather system has a purpose. And
okay, so what's the purpose of this one? It's the perfect way to...
Well, a lot of storms have a purpose of resetting some of the temperatures in the ocean. I mean, the hurricanes are supposed to cool down the energies, the temperatures, and of course, this is an El Nino year, so... It's shifted the temperatures, and they need some shifting out in the Pacific. So that's kind of what those weather systems, those lows, are doing.
Huh. So that jumps me right into it. Well, maybe we want to talk to Galexis right away, because I'm going, well, let's get right into talking about
that
frequency.
Sounds like a really good idea. So I'm going to head on out.
A perfect segue.
Okay. All right.
All right.
So bye to everybody, and Galexis will be right with you.
And thanks for being on with us, Ginger.
You're certainly welcome.
All right.
Oh. All right, we are here.
Hello. Welcome to the show, Galexis.
Well, well, thank you so much for inviting us. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
We've already started talking about the weather, so we might just crack right into this and wondered if you have some illuminations on the political use of frequencies, or can you talk about the frequencies that are moving through our consciousness these days and through our atmosphere?
All right. Well, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of people being very busy doing all sorts of things. And, of course, it's easy to get into a paranoid state of mind about government interfering with the lives of people and the things like chemtrails and so forth. But one of the things that seems to be very huge in the shifting and the changing of the frequencies and the energy bands and the frequencies that people are picking up is the continued expansion of cell phone towers and microwave radiation around the planet. There's a lot of awareness that if you have a microwave oven, that the microwaves actually stimulate and stimulate the nerves and or the cells within whatever it is that's being cooked, right? And it makes the cells jump around and beat around. It's a kind of a friction that goes on in there. And so what's happening on a kind of a lower level is that everyone's getting kind of cooked. All right? And it's getting more and more and more because more cell phone towers are going up all the time. More people are on cell phones. More people are on computers and Wi-Fi systems and all that kind of thing. So this whole system of connecting with other people, which is normally a in-person frequency, is now on the planet going all around throughout all the media and throughout all the cell towers all over and the satellites beaming down. And so there's like crisscrossing beams and radiation and fields and so forth going this way and that way. So really the government doesn't have to do that much to affect the population. It's a population
is boiling up inside.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. It's refrying on a very sensitive conscious level. People are not aware of it quite yet. Some people are aware of the danger of cell phones and what they can do to people. They can cook your brain. You know, if you are on the cell phone unprotected for a long stretch of time, you can start to feel a little weird, like a psychic heat in your brain. And so that's the microwaves getting in there and cooking stuff. We don't think microwaves are a really good, healthy thing to do, but if a person takes a lot of adequate protection and doesn't really spend a long time with a cell phone on and attached to the, and you know, and up at the ear and a lot of talking on the phone, it doesn't necessarily have to mess up a person's system. But right there, that's a big change. And it still hasn't reached its peak by any means.
Well, when you say, what do you do to protect yourself? Just keep it away from your head or not do it very often?
Yeah. Use a headset and there are certain little things that you can put on the headset to kind of block the energy waves that go up into the headset. And there's just it's important also that if you are living in a city and you're on a second floor or above, you're much more prone to get lots of radiation. Right. So
because of the mass amount of it.
Right, because it's coming off of various cell phone towers, and actually walls and plants and so forth can, in a sense, take some of the heat off of you. So the higher you go, the more likely you're going to be in the midst of a whole bunch of them: radio waves, microwaves, all sorts of frequencies going on in there. And of course,
you know,
yes, they're Yes.
A lot of us do healing energy, you know, bringing energy through.
Yes.
Can that transmute the cell phone energy? Or the
that
microwave?
Can. We have yet to see it on a mass level, though. We can see it on an individual basis. You
mm-hmm.
can, in a sense, if you feel, but it requires most often someone else to assist you. It's more difficult for a person to heal themselves because they have to ramp up their frequency, to lift their frequency to accomplish a healing. So most people need to call in a lot of energies and get themselves really, you know, expanded, or use a facilitator, someone else who's skilled to do it. And so we kind of suggest that people who do energy healing get with other people who do energy healing and provide for each other protection. And the way we would suggest protecting from microwaves, first of all, is to seal in a visualization and energetically with the help of your team, your spirit helpers, guides, and so forth, a bubble around the person.
Mm-hmm.
And that bubble needs to have a reinforcement of certain frequencies, which you can call your unseen friends, your spirit team, to help you install the right frequencies to protect the person. In a sense, you are creating an energy field around the person which is in alignment and helpful and beneficial for that person. And it's unique to that person. In the sense, the same bubble you put around someone else will have other frequencies for that person. But the healer doesn't have to know all of that. But the healer needs to put the protective bubble with the intention of protecting the person.
Okay.
If you do this for each other, it's a very beautiful and giving and loving thing to do.
Mm-hmm. I like that a lot. Somebody was telling me, a person that's a little bit famous, I don't know if I should mention the name, but that we have a lot more of the malignancy frequencies in our atmosphere right now. And I just wondered if that's all the same thing.
Yes, it's part of the same thing. It's because it's a stress to the cells and artificially aggravates, or you might say overstimulates the cells. And what this does is it creates a reaction in the nervous system to call in the immune system. Well, with a lot of this, what if over time, then the immune system kind of gets tired.
Right.
It gets worn down, and the person's energy gets worn down. Right? And right now,
if we put the protective bubble around the person and ask and intend for the right kinds of frequencies, can we nurture and re-stimulate the immune system?
That's right. That's right. But the thing is, most people don't think to do that, you know, proactively. They wait until something's wrong before they'll work with frequencies. Generally, most people don't have a time in their busy lives to sit down and put bubbles of protection around other people and have other people do it around them, and to renew these bubbles periodically. Because if a person has a crisis of motivation and intention, they can break their bubble. It's not something that is once it's in there, it's like a brick wall, and unless you have a huge sledgehammer, you know, whatever, or a huge equipment with a ball to crash into it, that it knocks it down. No, it's rather delicate. Even so, even though that you put in the protection, it's rather delicate. If a person goes through a lot of stress, or they have an issue with what do I do and how am I going to do this and so on, and they get into a place of indecision, or in that indecision, even worse, they can get into a place of self-judgment and feeling behind and feeling that they need to catch up and feeling pressured and under demand and so on, and fall for that whole matrix of performance pressure, performance anxiety, the demand for better, faster, more efficient work, getting more productivity, and go, and long hours, et cetera, et cetera. This busts the bubble and has to be repositioned more frequently.
Okay, so it's a practice kind of thing.
Right. That's why we suggest kind of on a regular basis, it would be a really good thing for two energy healer people to do, or, you know, offer other people, you know. But the whole crisis on the planet is creating a tremendous amount of chaos and fragmentation. And a lot of people are going through that right now. And that makes it really hard to protect themselves. So, therefore, there is more vulnerability to cancer and major diseases.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. The good thing about this right now is that the energies are moving very fast, aren't they? So things are not stuck.
Oh, that's right. In this time on the chaos, it's time for redreaming, as we say. It's time for imagining, because this is a time of great preparation to move out of bust out of the old boxes of limitation and move into a whole new arena. There's an opportunity within the next few months to make a great leap. A great leap of consciousness.
Oh, good. In the next few months, that's great. Like when?
Well, it varies from person to person. The first of the wave is probably in around November, middle of November, maybe around Thanksgiving to begin with. But it also seems to go through about March into April of 2010.
Hmm.
Is it
becoming more authentic? Is it becoming more of our true self?
Oh, absolutely. That's part of the redreaming. And in order to do that, though, one must, absolutely must, and this is very critical to be able to make the leap, one must not have any more susceptibility to shame.
Uh-huh.
In other words, any piece of the self that is not loved, that feels undeserving, or feels inadequate, or feels not good enough, or is terrified of failure, terrified of visibility with its potential of humiliation publicly and judgment and so on, or has some kind of anxiety that if they don't push hard enough and produce enough, they're going to disappoint everybody, including themselves. That pattern that is so embedded in the culture, that pattern is deadly.
Hmm.
As the energies move faster through the chaos, and the person is more fragmented, i.e. they're not integrated in union of self-love and value, what they can do is fall tremendously prey to this, get tremendously scattered, and their immune systems cannot function correctly. There's a lot of autoimmune diseases that are increasing at a very extremely rapid rate.
Hmm.
And degenerative.
So outside of the bubbles, can you give us protective measures to help us deal with that, or
well,
help our listeners?
One of the things that we did on our healing evening, we do Wednesday night evenings in L.A., and this month is called Total Healing. So we started out the month with a bang. We created a Wednesday night that was focused on cancer. And one of the things that happens with diseases and these kinds of things is that people make so many accommodations to their sense of powerlessness as children, and they take on a lot of patterns that belong to their family, to the consensus reality, that are not really true to themselves. As you were mentioning, being true to yourself, being more authentic is really key here. But they didn't value themselves enough to do that years ago. Most people fall into that pit. So the key here is to create inner union, inner unity. And by that, we mean that those inner voices, the ones that judge the self, the ones that push and drive the self, hurry up, the ones that, in any sense, suggest that the person is adequate, inadequate, stupid, or not doing it good enough, or is really a failure, a loser, or, in a sense, anxiously trying to find love, anxiously trying to seek outer validation, this place is the vulnerable place, and this is where the union needs to be worked on. It needs to be, those voices need to be brought into love. The part of the self that evaluates the self, it can be seen as an internal parent and so on when it's negative sometimes, but what it really is that everyone has set up, when they set up their conscience, which is somewhere between 8 and 11 years of age, and they internalize their parental structures, and they internalize an authority within them that tells them what's to do and what's not to do. When that internalization happens, it creates this what we call the assessor. And the assessor is the one that is in the authority position to assess the self image and to whip it into shape, to make it better so that they can get love and so a person can get success and things like that. Okay? And mm-hmm. what's really critical right now is to have a loving, nurturing, empowered assessor. In a sense, one with a sense of the divine, looking at the self and the self-image from the divine perspective, which is totally, totally acceptive, totally unconditionally loving. And so developing that for the self means that when you have that assessor rather than the critical ones, rather than the ones that tell you to hurry up, do more, press, push, push, drive, drive, or you can't, to worry about what other people think and all that kind of stuff. Instead, when you have that type of assessor and you install that in you, which we did in a workshop which was called Healing Your Relationship with Yourself, okay, when you install that assessor, what happens is that you install within yourself a sense of union and unity between all the fragmented parts. They come together as a whole, as a oneness, and you experience oneness within yourself. And as you make a vow, a promise to yourself from the highest levels to love and value and cherish and support yourself, you see, then you get into that state where you can really claim your divine power. And when you do that, you don't have the same vulnerability to frequencies, you don't have the same vulnerability to diseases, or to you don't take things personally. You're really, truly a spiritual, empowered adult. You see, that's the protection. And that's what people are moving towards that are in the spiritual path right now, to acknowledge the divine within them so that they can lift frequency-wise and stay up in higher frequencies. It's the higher frequencies that do not attract illness or suffering.
So that's actually a route to offset things like the swine flu, huh?
Oh, absolutely. The swine flu is really a it really is vulnerable to people who are vulnerable to it are having a lot of rage, and it'll pull rage up. Do you remember?
I listened to your talk on the website, and I want to say to everybody, it's really good on swine flu. You know, on the front page of the website.
Yes, on the website we have an audio file on the swine flu.
Yes, and we encourage people spirit.com. It's very good. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And it's to remind people that if you're filled with rage, you're also powerless. And when you're powerless, your immune system can't function correctly. It's going to be weak. You see? So rage needs to be acknowledged. People need to get their anger and their fears and all their to express what their feelings are and get them out of there rather than holding onto it. And feel having resentments and feeling powerless.
I guess all that fracturing stuff is powerlessness as well, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you have a split within you, you've lost power. Because, if, for example, within your psyche, you have the inner child. If the inner child and the internalized parent figure are having a battle with each other, you're not in your power, and you're losing energy. Anytime you have an internal conflict of any sort between any two parts, you know, one part of you, I want to do that, the other part says, I want to do that, even, you know, something that even that's a simple conflict, then you're going to have resistance, you're going to have a conflict, you're going to have a drain of energy. And you don't, and that drain
sense.
Is of your power, yes.
As we, as the frequencies move, and we're going through such a huge shift right now, and we've watched a lot of the old paradigm masculine roles completely dissemble, and now there's so much transparency, there's so much about the dominance of the male that's really up on the up on the blocks, as we say. And is that would you like to talk a little bit about the shifting masculine energies, and is it also represented by the fracturing and that distortion inside about who they are?
All right. The inner masculine and men, because of their dedication and their alignment and their focus in this particular lifetime as men with the inner masculine, is in chaos as well as the whole planet. But having the financial systems hit first to create the chaos. In a sense, that's where it created a ripple enough to really affect the whole planet, really undermined a lot of the masculine, twisted, distorted, chauvinistic matrix that had been established
on
the planet.
The dominant stuff, huh?
The dominant stuff, yes, the control and domination and manipulation and so on. And it underlying the whole idea of capitalism. Whereas even though capitalism is a really grand idea, in the wrong hands, it's gone, in a sense, to an extreme. And people are using money so extremely to define themselves, to delineate themselves, to determine whether they're successful or not, to determine whether they're valuable or worthwhile or not, you see. And it's gotten so much worse that this busting of the financial system, which is a temporary factor, created a tremendous loss of money and income for many, many, many millions of people. And it struck right at the core of what men are trained to do, and the inner masculine is trained to do, is to look for that external validation through money. The value is money. And so when a man loses his job, he loses his self-image. He loses his identity. He loses his role as provider. He loses a sense of authority, an importance and value. And so that's a huge crisis in the masculine energy right now. And so the only way that that's going to be repaired, in a sense, is for people to recognize that the system of the masculine matrix is flawed. That it's very hurtful to men. It keeps them from love. It keeps them from really true success. It hurts their relationships with women as well as with other men. It hurts love relationships. It destroys love relationships. So often they say that the major reason that they can point to for the failure of marriages often comes down to money issues. And this is the male shame. Oh, if I can't make enough money, then I've got to compensate somehow. And a lot of times men will compensate by being angry, belligerent, hostile, running away, trying to criticize and control their mate, or whatever. And this is all compensations for the terror of feeling like a failure, of feeling inadequate. The whole planet on the masculine side is dealing with this shame issue, and it's come to the surface. And if a person will deal with it on their own individual basis and heal the shame and give themselves, through their own inner authority by that inner assessor, permission to be powerful reality creators, to be loving people, to express their divine nature the way they want to, and not to have to do every minute of the day, but to have a sense of peace that they deserve a break, they deserve to play, they deserve love. With that comes a huge change, a huge healing, a huge shift, and they can lift out of that lower or darker energies filled with despair and violence and greed and all those kinds of things that people are judging and feeling upset about. It just kind of lifts out of that muck on the inner self into a sense of being able to be an authentic man, or for a woman, her inner masculine, to be able to do things that come from the divine expression of the self, rather than have to do things in order to please others, or do things in order to survive, or do things strictly for that financial reward.
Do you think the whole planet is going to be able to change this crazy money driven? I mean, what you're saying is even relationships are based on it. Country to country is based on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, all the nations of the world are all in themselves. Every nation having its own destiny, growing. Everybody's growing. Even Saudi Arabia is allowing, you know, women to work, and are building universities for women, and women are actually being able to be heard for the first time.
Wow,
that's
exciting, isn't it?
It seems to be achingly slow for someone who feels limited by it, of course, but the whole planet is going through a change, and this change is an expansion of awareness, and an expansion of awareness brings the awareness of the divine within into each person, and a person can take their power, therefore, as a divine being, and make good choices for themselves. Now, admittedly, the whole planet is not able. Every person, all the billions of people on the planet, are not ready to make this change. They don't have the opportunity. But there are some, like yourself, and those we speak with, who are able to do this. What's happening is, here at this critical period of chaos, just prior to the leap period, an opportunity to make a new platform, a new paradigm, and that's why we're on your program, paradigm shifter that you are, right?
Yeah.
This is the opportunity to dream the new paradigm, and those who are ready to do it, to lift and launch themselves, to leverage themselves, experiencing and expressing the new paradigm. At this time of chaos, the rest of the world is looking for a new model that's successful. And if you will dream this new paradigm, you will be the successful model. A person will say, look, that person is happy. They're having a good time. They're not manipulating, controlling. They're not a blankety blank. Look at them. They're having a wonderful time, and they're loving and compassionate, and they're fabulous people, and they're creative, and all sorts of wonderful things. What's their secret? What do they know that we don't? You see? And that's part of what you and others, we call the first waivers of this paradigm shift, are doing. You're creating your own lives to be like lighthouses, to shine your light to those who are floundering. And the masculine is floundering. The masculine energies are floundering. Men are lost. Men don't know where they're going. Motivations are shot. People are exhausted. They don't know what's going on. They're overstimulated from all the frequencies, and they don't know how to motivate and prioritize their energies. So,
and a lot of the men that I work with are wanting to break out of whatever it is as well. They're wanting
to change. But you know, one of the rules of the old masculine matrix is you don't look at it. You don't look at your shame.
Right.
You don't look at your pain. You don't look at any. You don't look. Not only do you not look at or acknowledge that you have a weakness, you have to hide that weakness so no one else ever gets to see it. You've got to appear strong. You have to be, you know, the macho man, right?
Yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
So for men to be able to face it, to go through it, even when they want to, it can be very, very difficult on an emotional basis to face the sense of their broken promises to themselves, a sense of disappointment in themselves, the sense of not being able to accomplish enough, being successful enough, not being high enough on the pecking order, you see, and in a sense letting everybody else down because they're not, you know, the ultra phenomenal, fantastic ruler of the world that, you know, they fantasize when they're boys.
Mm-hmm.
That they are not.
I think that's probably why so many men have prostate cancer right now.
Oh, yeah. It hits right there in the prostate. And women who are being wounded by this attitude and by men's aggression and so on, and which reinforces their sense, personal sense of shame in the feminine, is that I don't have the right to to pleasure. I don't have the right to do what I want to do. I don't have the right to follow my interests. I must support this whole matrix so that I can get enough money to survive. So women fall into it, or the, I have to support the man and I have to keep my mouth shut, or it's, or he's going to scream and be really hostile or something like that. You know, so I have to accommodate. I have to accommodate. I have to compromise. I have to accommodate. There's a tremendous
rage in women. Suppress, suppress.
Right. Women. Mm-hmm. And so it goes down deep, and that's women's shame. And that's breast cancer. You see?
Hmm.
And that hits women's, you know, uterus and so on. It hits their gender because of their shame held in the second chakra.
Hmm.
You see?
That makes sense, and it's just massive right now. It's going on all
over
the place. It's
huge. It is huge. And until people really come out of the shame, they have difficulty realizing that they can heal. They can heal whatever disease there is, but they have to come out of the shame. And they have to be willing.
Hmm.
They have to be willing to look at it all and let it go.
I know that we've talked about this sort of thing before, but can you give the listeners just like something they can do about shame?
All right. Well, the first thing we would suggest is for a listener to recognize is that the antidote to shame is the acknowledgement of your divine nature, because shame essentially gives a person a self-image that says, I'm flawed, I'm not worthy of love. And a lot of religions have used this as a way to control their flock, their congregations, their followers, right?
Mm-hmm.
To expiate their shame, to redeem themselves, to stay out of punishment such as hell or you know, humiliation in the public, whatever lifetime it is, now or the another one or whatever, there's a sense of people have been so controlled. But if you can acknowledge that you are divine by your very nature, and even if you don't believe it quite yet, if you start acting as if it's true, if you start reminding yourself of it, that when you're in the midst of your frustrations and your pain and you are confused and you're lost and you don't know what to do, if you can just go and remind yourself, I am a divine being having a physical plane experience. I am a light being. I am part of God, Goddess, all that is. Now, that's why on the homepage of our website, we have that message. You are a spark of consciousness. Anyone who goes to the website, it's right there on the front page, on that home page. And we often tell people, go there every day, at least once, and read it, and remind yourself.
It's better than a mirror.
Stand in a mirror, look at the mirror, and instead of looking at all the flaws, oh, look, my ears, my hair, I have a bad hair day, or look at the zit on my face, or whatever. Instead of looking at that, look at the eyes, look at the luminosity, look at the light, and say, I love you. You are divine. You're awesome.
I love that.
You see? And if you can do that, we also have that technique also on the website, under essays or something, you can find it in there, where it's, where you talk to the mirror, what you say to the mirror every day. And it is, your suggestion of looking at the mirror is really great because it really brings it up front and in your face, you know? It's not something that you can just say, oh, yeah, I'm a divine being. And but yet when you look at the mirror, you go, I don't like seeing myself, you know? You've got to really get to that place where you could see your radiance, where you see your light, and so on. And that's the main antidote. Now, there's a lot of techniques, and we bring them up in various workshops that can be done to gain a sense of power and awareness and in the moment so that you can shift certain energies, so that you can shut up these judgmental or fear-based voices inside your head, you know, so that your inner dialogue can become beautiful, loving, supportive, nurturing to you, and empowering, you know? So that
you have some CDs for people as well, don't you?
Oh yeah, we have quite every workshop that we do, every single one, is aimed at increasing the self awareness and the self image of the self as divine. And so, in every workshop, we will connect the person by in the meditations that are recorded there with their divine nature in some way.
Wonderful.
So that they can lift out of the shame. And when you do that, you lift out of the problems. You lift out of the issues. You heal. You see?
Yeah, I love that. Now, I want to talk about prosperity because we all talk about prosperity and the law of attraction and so on and so forth. But there's also something that you mentioned, which is kind of the collapse of the financial world in a way. I know it hasn't totally collapsed.
Oh, it's not. And it's being rebuilt.
Okay.
You know, as we speak. It's being rebuilt. The same.
But, Alexis, a lot of it's being rebuilt by the same people with the same
exactly.
kind of
it is. They're wanting to go back to the joy ride that they had before, and some of them will, but the majority will not. On the planetary wide, some people will be able to.
Is it possible to create a prosperity that is accessible to all of us instead of
it's coming. It's coming, but you see, you as individuals, the first waivers, have to, in a sense, create the ability to own your divine nature so that you can receive the bounty yourself. And when you start receiving the bounty, then all the other people who are lost and floundering are going to say, how are they doing it? You know, or you at least you don't have lots of money, but you're totally happy and just really getting a thrill out of your life. You have a joyous lust for life, and you're enjoying yourself. You're loving, you're celebrating your life. Even if there's not money in it, it means that you have tremendous bounty of something that may be intangible, but is actually more valuable and matters more than money. So it doesn't matter if, in a sense, if you have a job at the local hamburger joint, but you go into ecstatic bliss in your meditations in your own hours, you know, or you have a joyous life. Now, we're making that example to make a point, but what you do as far as your work and how much money that you make, if you are able to sustain yourself, if you are able to pay for your living and your basic needs, then you need to start expanding much more on the intangible, more on the divine, because then you're going to have the great life.
Do you think that our financial culture in this country is going to start developing that as a base value finally?
Well, it is all with you. It is all over the country. It's percolating right now. It's percolating. Well,
could be good.
Yeah, it is actually good. So there is a good thing that's coming out of the recession in the sense that a lot of people are going to reevaluate their lives and look at what's really important to them because they're not going to go back into the slave harness, the yoke and the harness of the workaholic. Yeah, they may temporarily, but something got damaged, something got weakened, something got changed, you see. And so it's not going to have the same glory as before. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of young people who are going to, we're going to make loads of money, we're going to, whatever. But the world is not supporting that frequency right now, you see. And so
maybe we took the blinders off. Maybe we took the big veil off, didn't we?
Yeah, there is a veil off, and people are going to be looking for something that matters, and they're going to find to their surprise, after all the training that they have received, that it's not really money. It's much more the three divine expressions, we call them. Every human being, by the very nature of being divine, wants to participate in these three forms of expression. The first one is to connect and exchange energy. We call that the love, touch, heal.
Love, touch, heal?
Love, touch, heal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You want to love other people and be loved by people. You want to touch them, be touched by them. You want to heal them, and you want to be healed by them. You want to connect and exchange energies, give and receive. Mm-hmm. That's really important. You see, it's much more important to have that than to have money, really.
Yes,
now,
it is,
secondly,
isn't it?
Secondly, the second channel is to imagine, to dream, to create, and manifest. By moving energy of motivation and desire and passion into your life to bring certain imaginative, certain creativity of yours into manifestation. Okay, so the creative channel is the second one. The mm-hmm. first one, the connection. The second one, create. The third one has to do with growing and learning and exploring and understanding and expanding your awareness of who you are and what's happening. That's educational
part.
What's that?
That's the fun part.
Oh, that's a fun part. All three are absolutely exquisitely fun. They're all part of the divine nature that you have. And so people are going to be discovering, because when money is short and or jobs are not seemingly available, that when it comes down to, okay, then what to do? What to do? If you can do something off those three channels, you'll find that you'll find your way. You'll find your job. You'll find your income. You'll find your way through the chaos. But you want to do it. It's in alignment with you, your temperament, who you are, to find how to express these three directions, these three channels of your divinity. You see?
Hmm. And I love that.
And this is where your true motivation lies.
Hmm.
This is where your desire and your motivation can link up, create that motivation, that urge to do something, to act through those channels with passion, with joy, with celebration. And, of course, the rest of the world will watch. It becomes
obvious.
So that
takes our prosperity into a much more dimensional reality, doesn't it?
That's correct. And you know, personally, yourself, that prosperity is not defined by money. It's defined by all sorts of resources and all sorts of experiences.
Yeah, it sure is, isn't it? It's what comes, what you can attract and what you flow to and
that's right.
through you.
You want to be able to receive as well as give. Mm-hmm. And you want to to enjoy and to feel and have happiness. And you cannot do these divine expressions well if you're still hung up in shame and self-judgment. You see, so
well, that's true.
And so why this is so critical right now, to step out of the shame into the divine ownership of self, okay? The divine within, all right? Really honoring it, respecting it, acknowledging it. Because this is what's going to change like a ripple effect. The whole societal structure of your planet, to give a new paradigm beyond this macho matrix. You don't have to hide anymore. You don't have to run away. You don't have to be scared to be visible.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when you can step forth with the divine channels of expression open.
I love that. It's very empowering. I want to throw another question in, that the veil is thinning. We hear that so much. Do you have anything to say or any explanations that help us understand beings beyond? I mean, you're basically from beyond as well.
Right.
Are we
right.
actually going to see more and more of that? Will we
see more? Absolutely. Absolutely. And the way it's going to manifest, most of your listeners probably already have noticed that they're becoming more intuitive, more psychic.
Right.
They're getting more impressions, more messages. You see, their realities are becoming more organic. It's not so like cause and effect and linear oriented. It's not logical anymore. People are willing to expand now, and particularly people who are on a spiritual growth path are expanding their awareness into the non-linear. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so as that happens, then the perceptional range of possibility increases.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a really very, very strongly been going on since about 2006, 2007. It's really amplified and accelerated. And it's going to continue. And the thing is that it is continuing exponentially. You know, if you've ever seen those bell curves, that first curve in that goes, goes kind of along the ground gradually, and all of a sudden the bell curve in a graph will just kind of start shooting vertically almost.
Right.
And it will level off at the top, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what if this awareness, psychic awareness that you're experiencing is like on one of those bell curves? As you start to notice it more and more, it brings in more and more for you to perceive, which opens mm-hmm. you to more and more.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, it's going to be rather natural for a lot of people who never would have ever considered it before to be speaking with extraterrestrials, to be speaking with spirit guides, to be seeing light, to be feeling the guidance and support and love of angels in their daily actions and daily activities.
So that changes our species. Then will we...
But you see, it's more of the alignment of you as a divine being to mm-hmm. what your essential nature is. You really had to limit yourself in this whole twisted masculine to get into logic and to mm-hmm. deny emotion. You see, it's been in the culture, it's like been the fad. It's been the great fad for about, you know, a couple hundred years or so. And to be really logical, scientific. But,
right.
you know, the greatest scientific discoveries are not made through logic.
No, the greatest they're usually very intuitive, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. If they didn't have an intuitive hunch, they would never have figured something out or have discovered something, you see. So,
well, you know, we've also heard that pretty soon a lot of us will be awakening, so much so that we will be in touch with our past lives, anytime we want to. Do you think that's all part of it?
Yeah, that's being able to be conscious of your unconscious mind. And it's coming. But first, mm-hmm. you're going to be conscious of your subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind is where all your little patterns are. And when you clean
really
that up...
That's the hard work, isn't it?
That's the hard work, because those are your habits. Mental habits, emotional habits, physical habits are all in the subconscious. But when you begin to understand what your intentions are, what your agendas are, why you do what you do, and that you can change it, you start cleaning out all of that chatter in your mind, and your mind becomes crystal clear and quiet.
Hmm.
This is the state of enlightenment, of awakening, of Satori, or whatever, right?
Well, are kids going to be born? Are there children being born that are without a subconscious? Because I've been told that by someone.
No, you need a subconscious to function. It's like you need an ego to function. You can't function without an ego and a subconscious and an unconscious. That's a system on a metaphysical, and it's got very positive benefits. It's very useful. If you didn't have a subconscious, you would forget how to go to the bathroom every time.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh, you mean it keeps our programs safe, does it?
It keeps all the programs so that you know how to do things. You could not learn if you don't build on your patterns.
Yes, of course.
You see. So, yeah, you got to have subconscious, but you want your subconscious to become conscious. Or not like to be aware of everything that your subconscious is aware of, because your subconsciousness is aware of the temperature at every city or every point of location on the planet simultaneously. That's
too
much data.
I don't want to talk about all that.
Your subconscious actually sorts and isolates the things that are useful for you to know.
Uh-huh.
And it's that sorting process.
So it's a very busy section of ourselves.
It is. It's the sorting process. That the sorting, the weight of sorting, all right, that you work with when you work with your inner voices, you figure out, okay, what are my filters? How am I sorting it? And you do it according to intention. You do it according to the alignment with your who you see yourself as being.
Mm-hmm.
You see, and when you can get these lined up, that's when your mind gets really clear, and then you have access. Again, you cannot know the whole unconscious mind. It's way too much. You cannot bring it fully into the conscious mind, which is just like a point of awareness. So, but you have access. You'll have access into the unconscious mind. So if you want to say, well, you know, what's going on with this? Is this related to another lifetime? Boom, you're going to see the images pop up. You're going to, oh. And it doesn't necessarily mean you actually had that lifetime. It can mean that you're understanding that template you absorbed at some point. So you can play with
great.
It in all sorts of different ways. But what's
unfortunately, we have to end this, and I'm sorry because I'm fascinated. I would like to go on and on.
Well, certainly we would, too. There's so much to say.
There really is. It's been very intriguing, especially that last section. We could just, I really love that.
All right. Well, you see, just to wrap up, we would suggest that the focus needs to be in the present.
Uh-huh.
Rather than another lifetime. Be here now. Take your power now. Own who you are now and dream a new future.
Excellent.
Right.
And people can check in on your wisdom through GalexisSpirit.com. Is that
yes.
right? And you'll have your list of where you'll be and workshops and
that's
so
right. And if they're interested in any of those real techniques about, like, for example, the assessor, we would recommend that they would get the CD title, Healing Your Relationship with Yourself.
Sounds like a good plan anyway, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's vital at this point.
Yeah.
Yes, we have certainly enjoyed being with you on your show.
I've enjoyed it very much, and I hope you'll come back again.
Oh, of course we will. We'd be delighted.
Wonderful. Well, many blessings to you and to Ginger. Thank you so much.
You're certainly welcome. Thank you.
All right. Good night. Well, that was a very educational time talking in a multidimensional fashion with some very expanded points of view. Gave me a lot of material to go forward. This is Veronica Entwistle. You've listened to Paradigm Shifters with our guest tonight, Galexis, channeled through Ginger Mitreau, and check GalexisSpirit.com. My next week's guest is, I can't remember her name exactly, but she's a representative of Eric Pearl of The Reconnection. He's on an international tour, and she's going to be talking about reconnection, which is essentially bringing in universal energies in order to connect with your own healing power. I'll see you on Thursday night on Radiance by Design at 7 o'clock. And that's a call-in show. You get to call in and talk about it. I've been talking about being enslaved, what enslaves you, what enslaves me, how do we get free, and at 8 o'clock, with Jackie Salvitti and ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. And that's another wild ride into the dimensions with her team of channeled consciousnesses. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much for listening. Email me, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. If you have a suggestion for a guest, a comment on the show, or want a session with me. Many blessings, much love, and thank you for listening.